Hello, welcome to Base Camp for Men. I'm your host, Tony Rizak. This is a show that gives you insights and resources in how to live a more courageous life. We look to assist you on your hero's journey in any way that we can. Truth is our compass, humanity, our tribe. Welcome and let's get started. Hello, Base Campers. I hope you're all doing well, getting back in the swing of things here in the start of Season 8. Like I mentioned before, I'm likely to keep this as a weekly show every Tuesday as opposed to every other week, which was something I was sort of kicking the tires on in the off-season there. But I want to keep it as a weekly show. However, I could see more shorter format Firestarter episodes in this with just yours truly as I unpack what is sure to be an epic year this year, no matter how you see things going. What is the edge for you this year, Base Camp? Maybe it's better self-care or more courage. Perhaps it's a clear vision of the next chapter in your hero's journey. What inner work are you committed to doing? Maybe it's a better connection to God, Christ, or the divine, however you conceive the divine. Maybe it's carrying yourself with greater dignity and self-respect. Or maybe it's finding new levels and pockets of humility in yourself, recognizing that we're all deep inside of a mystery and truly none of us have all the answers. My guests and I go into some of these today along with some other juicy topics. Before we get to the interview, I wanted to share a couple of quotes that I think are relevant. The first is from Alain de Botton, a British philosopher, who said, quote, "Anyone who isn't embarrassed of who they were last year probably isn't learning enough," unquote. That one makes me laugh. And this one by Amit Ray, who says, quote, "It does not matter how long you are spending on the earth, how much money you have gathered, or how much attention you have received. It is the amount of positive vibration you have radiated in life that matters," unquote. Oh. And now on to our sponsor and our guest. Enjoy the episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Stand Up Now Apparel. Stand Up Now has amazing designs centered on God, family, freedom, and patriotism. They use only the softest cotton in their designs and have gear for the whole family. Something for everyone, Base Campers. I know you're going to love their products. Go support them at www.standupnowapparel.com and use the code BASECAMP to receive a 10% discount and free shipping. And now, on to our interview. My guest today is Ryan Windsor. Ryan is a father of two, an integral coach who works with men one-on-one and in groups, speaking on topics like anger, masculinity, communication, and intimacy. Here is my interview with Ryan Windsor. All right, I am here with Ryan Windsor, men's group leader, integral coach, father, Ryan Windsor. Ryan, welcome to Base Camp for Men. It's great to have you on the show.
Tony, it's good to be with you.
It's great to be with you, too. We're getting kicked off here on Season 8. I've been really excited. I've been in your men's group. I've been in a lot of men's groups over the years, led many, participated in a bunch, and I've just really enjoyed the container that you've created. I got my stepbrother is an occasional participant, so I get to see him once in a while. But I just so appreciate how you lead that. And so it's just, I've been really excited to chat with you. Conversations around men and healthy masculinity have been a cornerstone of this show from the beginning. Actually, it was a lot of it at the beginning, and then we've ventured into a bunch of other things. But this is kind of maybe a return to our roots a little bit. But before we really get into the questions and the meat of it, I just wanted to give you a chance to just introduce yourself, a little bit of a background, maybe where you're from, what kind of work you're doing, how many kids you have, whatever else might be relevant to today's questions.
Well, I'm a Midwestern boy, grew up in Iowa, and then found the river, became a whitewater river guide, really important aspect of my life. So I'm a river man through and through. I'm a builder. I have a handyman business where I help my community keep their houses up and running, and I do integral coaching, and also I'm a father is probably one of my biggest identities that I have and my favorite. My boys are 10 and 7, and so that's a big reason that I'm here talking to you today is that I have two little boys, and I want to see them grow up into good men, and that's why this work is really important to me.
That's great. Thank you for that. You know, what you've been involved with, anybody, for me, you can lead trainings on something like the Mankind Project or Sacred Sons,
But I anybody that's a therapist to men or a coach or somebody that leads groups, men's groups, I consider part of the community of men that care about what's going on in the male community and part of men's work. So I use it really broadly. And so what have been like the big takeaways from you as you have rolled up your sleeves and put yourself in the middle of conversations about what makes a good man, what makes, you know, what are the important issues that men are facing, all of these different kind of edgy questions that we bring into these circles. What has been maybe the biggest takeaways for you?
Oh, there's a lot to unpack there, Tony. I think the first thing that comes up for me about being involved in this work is that I don't have to do it alone. You know, I spent a lot of time in my youth and in my 20s just kind of trying to shoulder all of my hardships and any struggles that I might have and do it all kind of in isolation. And so I think one of the biggest things is just connecting with other people and other groups and having that camaraderie and also just kind of noticing the threads, you know, the similar threads of things that we're all dealing with. And that gives me a foundation of support in my own life. Like I can really feel, even talking to you right now, you know, I can feel the strength and the presence and the connectedness of the other men that I sit with in circle. And so it's really supportive and I don't have to do it alone. I think that's a good place to start.
Yeah, you know, I know that place of having to do it alone. I remember, you know, before I found men's work, you know, I went through a terrible depression when I was young, and I didn't know what to do with it. I was probably longing to hear other men tell their stories about how they moved through that, but there, I just couldn't see it. I ended up getting a therapist and working through it, a male therapist, and that helped immensely. But why do you think men, you know, let's put depression on the side a bit. Why do men reflexively, their ears might perk up about, oh, there's men's groups, but they still maybe don't give themselves permission to go in there? What do you think it is about? Why do men still are so hesitant to join when, you know, 95% of the men that you talk to that have been in men's group usually are like, oh my God, it's amazing, I love it, you know, but still there's that hesitancy, and there's a kind of a barrier. What do you think that is?
I mean, I think it comes down to fear in a lot of ways. And I think that the fear is, you know, afraid to be vulnerable, Tony. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I have been in this work for a while, and through experience, I think we've realized that being vulnerable and being open is sort of a growth edge and kind of a gateway to living, you know, with full presence in our lives. But I didn't start out that way. You know, even in I remember my first men's group in Portland, I was involved in for well over a year, and I was pretty committed to the group. I still have friends to this day, but I would go and I would sit in that circle and I seldom shared. I was really quiet. I would listen. I got a lot out of it, but I wasn't ready to be vulnerable yet. Mm-hmm. And so I would often impart bits of wisdom to people. And I was there for the group and everything, but I was very shielded. I kept my armor on. I didn't really show them who I was. Mm-hmm. And so it's taken me a long time to like now show up and really drop all the armor and really be my true self, whether I'm feeling strong in the moment or weak in the moment or scared or whatever it is, but just being, you know, authentic with who I am. But I think that that's a lot for men in our society to show up with that vulnerability, because mm-hmm. we are well practiced, a lot of us, at the art of hiding it all behind masks and armor and various other strategies to protect ourselves.
Yeah, that's well said. I think it's also just to piggyback on that. I think there's men kind of intuit that there's perhaps a dragon that they have been saying it to themselves they're going to get to someday, maybe, whether that dragon is addiction or trauma or sexual trauma or abandonment issues or all of the different shadow aspects that a man can hold. We all have these different things in our lives that have happened. And I think there's they intuit that maybe some of that might come to light, and it's very, very scary to think that might happen. Especially you're talking about going into a men's group. You don't really you might know one guy, the guy inviting you, right? So you're like it feels like you're being asked to, be very vulnerable with men you don't know. I don't know if you want to say anything about that, but I think it's like they it's not that they think a group of men sounds stupid. I think there's a fear of like, oh man, I don't want that to come out, or whatever it might be, or I don't want to work on my drinking. And I really know that that's a crux of why my marriage isn't good, for instance, right? Like they're just like, I know that they're going to call me out on this, or I'm going to blurt it out in a men's group.
Yeah, I mean, I think what I've seen is that, well, first of all, everyone's on their own part of they're on their own path, and they're in their own place with this. I have a guy in one of my groups now who's super committed, and he comes and he shows up, but he's pretty quiet and pretty reserved, much like I was years ago. But that's where he is in the moment, and he's obviously getting something out of it because he returns again and again. And I think even just being a fly on the wall in some of these meetings, you could get a lot out of it because we go into topics that are difficult for men to discuss, grief and shame and fear and vulnerability and different aspects of sexuality, like you name it, and when one person speaks their truth and they meet their core vulnerability, what that does often is it gives permission to the others in the group to do the same and to say things that they normally, have kept hidden from view. Maybe it is like a shadow part of themselves, or maybe it's just something that they're too afraid, to say something, because how will they be perceived? How will they be judged? We have our biological history, which tells us that being a part of the tribe is fundamental, and it's a survival thing. And so we have to almost override, societal expectations and our biological history to come to a group like this, say something really vulnerable, and then be surprised when the rest of the men start opening up and saying that they have these same types of experiences. And then when that happens, that's when you're in the magic, because you become connected to yourself and to everyone else, and you don't feel so alone as the place that I started with all this, but you actually realize you're connected in that we all have these commonalities that we're all dealing with.
Yeah, that's great. And I think it's great that you've identified that the first version of you was not going to be, you were, hesitant. You were taking a lot in, offering a little things. You weren't really showing the men all of you. And I think it's great that men can show up that way and be reserved and not share and still pull a lot, get a lot from the group, because I've led groups both big and small, and there's always the guys that love to share, or the guys that are maybe just a little further along, so they're more comfortable, getting into it. And there's always ones that are really quiet on the, in the container that don't share a lot. And it's great to illustrate that you still get a lot out of being a little bashful, being a little shy about your inner life in that group, in that version of yourself, that it does, you don't have to be super effusive about your inner life to get a lot out of men's groups. I grew up in a blue collar town, and so when I was a kid, it was like masculinity, you didn't talk a lot about it. It was just like the tough guy was kind of, the gold standard, even though, as I got older, I was like, oh man, the tough guy is not where it's at. And then it seemed like culturally we swung back to like this kind of more of a sensitive new age guy, right? The guy that didn't have, you know, and we ran with that for a while. And it seems like there's a lot of talk in, you know, on blogs and stuff about, you know, what's in the middle, you know, what's not overly, you know, because the tough guy can be just a macho jerk, right? But there's probably things about being tough that are, that men want. And there's things about the sensitive new age guy that a lot of men might be like, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be, you know, I don't know if women respect that, you know, or whatever their take is on it. I don't, you know, but there's also things from that version culturally that, that are attractive, the emotional intelligence and all these different things. Are we settling into something that's kind of in the middle? Like, what's in the middle of those two kind of, you know, poles that we've seen culturally in our lifetime? What's the middle ground? And, you know, men, I think men still want to feel manly and feel like they belong to the tribe of men. I think there's just kind of a dot, dot, dot question mark of, you know, what does that entail exactly? You and I are talking about men's groups. Is that part of it? Or, you know, how do you see that playing out or culturally? What are you noticing?
Well, it's a great question. And I mean, I'm going to say some things, but I almost like the living question aspect of this that can go on and continue to be generative than to like actually say that I have any real answers about it. I mean, one thing that I'm noticing is that you kind of use two polar opposites here. And I think that each one is sort of like repressing the aspect of the other, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So the sensitive ponytail guy, as you call it, is kind of like afraid of like the other side, the harder masculinity, and the person who's the tough guy, you know, whatever blue collar worker or whatever that comes up in your mind is repressing the sensitive ponytail guy. And so
yeah.
I love the concept of the middle way. Having studied a bit of Buddhism, you know, that there's a lot that can be said about finding that route. But the thing about it is it's not a place where you necessarily stay. It's almost like riding a bike. You know, you got to kind of keep the thing upright and stay on target because you can quickly get off the middle way if you're not careful.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, let me ask you. I mean, how do you see it? Because you've been thinking about these concepts for a while, and I sort of see you in the middle, but I'm not sure if I could define it. Like, what do you see as the middle way of masculinity?
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, that it's a living question. I think for men, you know, how am I expressing myself? You know, it's, I think there's something about how we carry ourselves, like with Dick, like for me, for instance, the qualities that I highly value in other men. And this is an I statement, this is me, but I've also noticed other men have a similar kind of thing, right? I know men like this, maybe they gravitate towards me or vice versa. I highly value courageous men. And that could be ponytail or blue collar. Like if you have courage to face yourself, and you stand for something, in other words, you've done the inner work to say, what do I want my life to be about? What, you know, to me, and that, you know, women could have a conversation about mission as well, but it's very important on the male side, I feel like, because it's men that don't have any kind of sense of purpose, there's too much distraction. They end up going in kind of sideways direction. So I think for me, the middle way would be exemplifying particular characteristics like courage, even strength. And strength can be used a lot of different ways. It does not have to be physical strength, but some sort of strength in your convictions, in what you care about. So as a father, that's easy to identify a couple things that we really care about, right? But also, what else are you going to stand for? And I think the middle way also is like being connected to your own inner little boy, or even your inner feminine, that if you don't honor the soul, which in my cosmology is female, right? That's just, I've kind of like a, got a Gnostic viewpoint of the soul, right? If you don't honor the feminine, if you don't honor what's innocent in the world and in yourself, I think that's a failure of masculinity. And I think that's the middle way as well.
Yeah, no, that's beautiful. I'm glad you brought in the feminine, actually, yeah. Because, you know, I brought this question to one of my groups, literally just what is masculinity? Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to have that exploration. And we had, you know, we had two different whiteboards, one with masculinity, one with femininity. And the whole thing kind of got confused after a while, because it's like at a certain point, it's like,
yeah,
it's all human, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I agree with you. In my mind, as you were talking, what comes up for me for the middle way are a couple of things. And that would be a person who is at home in themselves. And that to me means, like, when you think of the yin yang symbol from Taoism that has the black and the white fish with also the corresponding little circles in between, I think of a person who's like that with their masculinity and also their femininity. Like, they need to be balanced, you know, because if we're balanced, then we're not the sensitive ponytail guy and we're not the tough guy who's afraid of the other side. We're right in the middle. Yeah. We can connect with our feminine aspects, but we also have the masculine aspects, and we're just being true to ourselves, and we feel at home in our own body and in the world. And I also agree with your sense of purpose. And I think that sort of aligns with just being true to ourselves, because if we're living our purpose, then that's what we're doing. We're stepping up again and again, despite hardship, difficulty, challenges. And we're meeting the moment, you know, as often as we can.
I think men have tremendous respect for a man that keeps picking himself back up and having that is strength. That is perseverance. I have a ton of respect for men that are like, you got my butt kicked here, or my, you know, this happened or that happened. And they're just, you know, they wipe themselves off and got support and keep going. And you mentioned something about authenticity and being comfortable in your own skin. I think I was blessed to see men that were authentic, that exemplified authenticity when I was young. Why do you think they, to me, they make the best leaders? I think the most, the best, when I watch sports and I watch football, I've noticed that the best leaders on the football team, when they give interviews, they sound really authentic, right? It's like men gravitate towards authenticity, and men that hold authenticity are true to themselves. Why do you think that is? Why is that such an attractor for a group of men?
I don't know. It seems to be like the big buzzword these days, you know, authenticity, or I've heard integrated as well. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, when someone is real and true to themselves, and they don't shy away from their vulnerabilities, but they actually are working with them in real time out there on the edge for others to see, that's something that you can trust.
Yep.
Because there's nothing hidden, you know, with the two examples that you gave before on the opposite sides of the spectrum, there's something hidden in each of those, and you can't see it. Yep. And when you can't see it, then you don't know how to trust it. But someone who is just out in the open and they are doing that work and stepping over that threshold over and over again, even though it's more challenging. Mm-hmm. That's somebody that I want to be around, and that's someone that I can trust because it's all out in the open.
Yeah, that's well said. You know, I had a martial arts instructor. I was an Aikido student for many, many years, and I had a martial arts instructor who told me, he goes, you know, when it comes to men, it's about respect. It's always, he goes, I don't care if you're a nice guy, which is kind of the ponytail guy, right? He goes, I don't care. I don't give a rat's ass if you're nice to me, or you know, but I command respect. I demand that there's respect. And he said, respect is everything. And I was like, I sat with it for a while, and I was like, and I still think about it to this day, you know, and I'm like, what is that? You know, I get the respect of having self-respect, having dignity, right? so that my actions and behaviors are dignified. They're in alignment with, you know, I'm not doing things that are an embarrassment to myself or my tribe or my ancestors, right? But there's also kind of the respect of, I think other men intuit when there is, when a man needs to be respected. It's not a macho thing. It's hard to describe. I'm trying to find that kind of like little sliver.
I mean, really, for me, the word you nailed it was dignity. Mm-hmm. Is one thing. It's like, I don't know. You said something too about demanding respect, which sort of triggered me a little bit, because it's mm-hmm. like, if someone demands respect of me, it's like, that's kind of not how it works.
I think commands was what I was looking for. Which feels more like, it's not like I insist you respect me. It's almost like I can't help but respect you, right? Like I just have an innate respect. And when I looked up respect, it said, because I'm like, what is the exact definition of this word, right? And it's like to esteem, to avoid violating, to avoid interfering with or intruding upon. So Ellis Amdur, my old Aikido instructor, was saying, I command, you know, you are not going to intrude. I mean, he's a 6th degree black belt in Aikido, so it's easy for him to say you're not intruding on me, right? But what are the spiritual lessons of that? And why do I so, because there's men I don't respect. I just don't, by the how they conduct themselves. And there's men I respect a lot. And sometimes it's just right when I meet them right away, I kind of know. So mm-hmm. there's something in between, the male tribe in between, where we can pick up on, you know, is this a man that is that carries himself with dignity, maybe is one way of saying it.
Yeah. Well, not only carries themselves with dignity, but also I would say, and more importantly, they give it to others. And that is just like a general tenet of the way that they lived. Dignity. Yeah. And also, you know, if you ask my boys, I'm starting them early, you know, they're 10 and 7, but every now and again at the breakfast table, I'll be like, what do we stand for, Windsor boys? And they'll both be like, kindness, these little tiny voices, you know, we stand for kindness. And I think that for me, someone who allows everyone else around them dignity and they live with kindness, then they command my respect. For me, that's what it takes. I don't know about for you. But if people don't operate from those values, then I might be a little more boundaried around them because it's harder to trust.
Yeah. I get you. Yeah, it's they're interesting concepts, and how we live our lives. Do you think has your compass for how you live, has that changed over time? Like what was, I know it has for me quite a bit, but there's also things I think that are, you know, that were there from the beginning and probably will be there at the end when I leave this body. But has your idea of, you know, your principles changed as a man over time? Were they different when you were young?
I mean, I think a little bit is inevitable. There's a high level of rascality in my youth due to boredom, you know, and like, you gotta try some things on when you're younger and in your 20s to realize that maybe they don't feel good. And afterwards you clean up your act along the way. But in terms of my compass, I feel like I've kind of been heading a general direction the whole time. And I've been tuned into that intuition and following it. But also I've certainly gone off trail in my life at times and forgotten. And then I had to remember. And I feel fortunate that now in my 50s, that compass is pretty honed in and I have what feels like a clear direction. And now it's just about continuing to step up and be visible and continue to do this work so that I can stay in the middle way. Again, really is where it all aligns for me, is the middle way.
Yeah, rascality when you're younger, I can relate well to that. I was
that's a different podcast, Tony.
That's a different podcast. I've got an 18-year-old exploring rascality right now. It's just like, okay. You know, what I added a question just of what in 2026, like what part of yourself are you kind of working on? It doesn't have to be anything in the masculine pantheon or spectrum or anything. Just what kind of feels like your edge, or like you get to the end of 2026, what kind of needle would you have liked to see maybe move a little bit in the direction that you're looking for in the coming year?
Sure. I mean, a couple things. First of all, the work that I'm really doing right now, like my growth edge is just being seen, you know? And so like even coming on to this to speak with you today, not an easy thing for me to do historically, because I'm kind of an introvert and quiet, and I sort of go with the flow, you know? And so stepping forward and speaking my truth is still kind of a thing that I have to consciously participate in. So that's a big edge for me this year, is just continuing to kind of like step over that threshold into visibility and say what I want to say, even if it, you know, feels challenging, and if I know that it's a right action for me. So that's really big this year. And then the other two things are a little more subtle, but they've been powerful for me. And that is, I'm creating a little more spaciousness and a little more stillness in my life. Because I don't know, I mean, you have a lot of energy. I see you, I have a lot of energy, and I have a tendency just to kind of go and fill up all the spaces and just kind of like have to do all these things. And I've been noticing that if I build in a little bit of stillness and a little bit of space, that really is the support that I need to have a flourishing life. And I never really fully realized it before, or if I realized it, I never actually succeeded in creating it. And so I want to continue to build in those capacities as well.
I love that. You know, I've been a dabbler in meditation. You know, I think I had a meditation practice when I was doing martial arts. But I've been kind of a dabbler. I do Qigong and stuff, but I could certainly use some more space. The one thing that I thought of that I'd really love to work on 2026 is of the archetype. So lover, king, magician, and warrior. I'd really like to do work in the lover quadrant this year, and specifically be, you know, I really want to kind of make sure my playfulness and this kind of sense of innocence is alive and well. I think it could be a strength to operate from there, not from being naive, you know, where you're acting like a little kid, but just that you're in tune with that kind of innocent wonder, that kind of little boy that is like, you know, heart on sleeve, hope on sleeve for how things unfold. And just be a little bit more in tune with that, and just deeply appreciating my surroundings, the people around me and my surroundings. I think there's room for me to kind of roll up my sleeves this year and really give thanks and be appreciative and be a little playful, since that's always been kind of a strong suit of mine. But I feel like as I've getting older, maybe I'm naturally maybe moving away from that. I don't know if I want to leave that. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. And I almost feel, I'm glad you said something about play, because that's such an important aspect. And I'm very fortunate that, you know, it didn't come to mind when you asked me, but I'm very fortunate that I have a 10 and a 7-year-old boy. And so that's absolutely like built into the system for me. I get to be that little boy again through their eyes, and not only see, but experience that wonder. And, you know, play is so important. So I love that for you, man.
Maybe that's why I'm saying it, is because my boy is 18, 19. Like, he's like, you know, he's off doing his stuff, and I'm like kind of
missing
him.
He's the rascal now.
He's the rascal, and I'm left to like, who am I going to play with?
I'll play with you still,
Tom. I appreciate that, man. Well, listen, great job. Great job on your men's groups too. Where can people find you and your work? You know, I know you're launching out an integral coaching practice. Yeah, give us the details on maybe where people can connect with you if they want to be in a men's group of yours, they want to work with you, whatever that you've got going on. Please let us know, you know, website, where people can find you, and maybe what you'd like the listeners to know about that.
I appreciate that. It's waycraftcoaching.com, which is basically WayCraft, Waycraft Coaching, is the best place to find me. Yeah, reach out, you know, if you want to be a part of the conversation, if you have curiosity, if you're a first timer, an old timer, whatever, I want to talk to you and find out what your experience is. And right now, keeping things pretty simple, you know, I've got a couple of groups, I got some one-on-ones, but I also have a handyman business and my two little boys. So I'm just trying to have a nice balance of all those things. And it makes for a really rich life.
That's awesome. Ryan, thanks so much for coming on Basecamp for Men and sharing your insight and your wisdom. So great to have another conversation with you outside of the men's group, and keep up all the great work you're doing, and good luck with everything that you got going on the next year.
I appreciate you, Tony. I look forward to playing with you.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I did with Ryan Windsor. Next week, we have an interview with author Cindy McMenamin. And after that, another solo Firestarter short format coming your way. Thank you, Base Campers, and we'll see you around the fire next week.
If you find value in our show and wish to show us some love, we are now making that very easy to do. You simply go to www.basecampformen.com and click on Donate Support Basecamp. You'll find an easy way to make either monthly donations for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate just once. We love the monthly donation and hope to build this up over the coming months, but any show of support is greatly appreciated, honestly. Thank you for your support and for helping to keep Basecamp as a resource on your hero's journey. That's our show for today. Thank you for listening. Men, good luck in all your endeavors, and good luck on your hero's journey. This is Tony Rezac, and you're listening to Basecamp for Men.